Hello and welcome to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with relevant news, recent developments, and must-have information about what's happening inside the Mat-Su School District.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today Jillian Morrissey, who usually is saying what I'm saying. Welcome, Jillian.
I'm so glad to be here. I love when we get to flip it like this. This is great.
Okay, so I will try to do my best here. And we have a number of new things to talk about. And I think starting for listeners with the new school board makeup would be a good way to go.
That's a great start. So folks probably remember just a couple weeks ago, we were voting here in the borough. And so we actually got a new school board member from that election. And so we have a new school board member, Tom Berge, who is in our District 1. And it's always exciting when we have a new school board makeup. It just changes and shifts the way that things are. So with that, you know, they have to pick their officers. And so with that, Sarah Welton, who also was reelected during this last election, has now taken the position of school board clerk. And so she has moved seats on the dais now. And so that just the school board looks different. And if anybody wants to come and visit one of the next school board meetings, they'll see that people are arranged up on and they're seating differently. So this is excellent. This is exciting. This is it's a new time for the school board. Donna Dearman is still, our school board president, and Kelsey Trimmer has remained our vice president. So that's the news from the school board and what's happening. And they will be picking committees soon so that they'll be working on things throughout the school year.
Okay. Now, the school board does a variety of things. Mm-hmm. And there's something called a official school tour that's mm-hmm. done. Talk a little bit about that.
That was something that actually happened yesterday. And okay. It's probably one of my favorite events, just because what we get to do is highlight a few of our schools here in the district. Just for folks to remember, our district is large. It is 47 schools spread across about the size of the state of West Virginia. It's just a very large school district. It's unique that way. We have close to 19,000 students, and we have many elected officials in our borough. And just our state and federal delegation. So what we do, Dr. Goyette, our superintendent, and our school board invite all of our elected officials to join us for a morning of visiting schools. So yesterday morning, we started at Career and Technical High School over there on Seward Meridian. And we actually started with a breakfast that was made by our culinary arts students. And that was to highlight the fact that we do vocational education. We do career and tech education at CTHS and throughout the district. And what's amazing is watching these students do their work. They're incredible. They know what they're doing. We have Chef Rebecca from CTHS organizing everything, but it's the students that are preparing the food that are making sure that the elected officials have what they need. So from that, we had folks from the Juno delegation. So we had almost the whole Juno delegation was there, all our representatives and senators. We also had a representative from the city of Palmer, representative from the city of Wasilla. We had our new assembly members. We have two new assembly members for the Mat-Su Borough, and this is a great crash course for them on our schools.
Right.
So we have Tam Bevy from the Talkeetna area, and then we had Jesse Sumner over, I believe it's District 6 that he represents. And so that is wonderful. So we started at CTHS with breakfast. Dr. Goyette gave them sort of an overview of the big pieces of the district, looking at our enrollment, of course, looking at our academic testing, looking at our graduation rates that are rising, and just helping folks frame for these elected officials that have to deal with so many different things throughout the year, help them understand a little bit better about what's happening in the Mat-Su. So from there, when what they get really excited about is they get to tour the schools and visit with kids. And one of the things that's really important that Dr. Goyette always wants to show elected officials is really how orderly our schools are. And so they got to watch passing periods and how all of that happens.
Right.
And then they went down and at CTHS looked at a brand new design, a new wing for CTHS that students had designed. And so we looked at what these are very high achieving students that are doing architecture and engineering. And so they got to show their computer renderings. They got to show them the model that they had, the 3D model, and explain what their vision of a new wing at CTHS school would look like. That was very impressive for elected officials to see that high-level work happening in our schools.
Okay.
So that was the first one. And then the second school that we went to is Thielen Middle School.
Right.
Which is one of our neighborhood schools, and it's really important for elected officials just to see, and for everybody to see, these are our neighborhood schools. This isn't a school, it's not a school of choice. The kids come from different elementaries and go to Thielen Middle School, and another really orderly, high-performing school. And then we finished it with Matsu Day School. And the reason we did that is one of the things that we know is how important it is to keep students engaged. And we have some students in our district that have high needs. And it's really important for our officials to see how our district keeps those students engaged in school and finding a path forward for success for them. So that was our school tour yesterday.
How long did that take?
We do it pretty quickly. We get to skim the surface with a lot of these schools, but we were done in about 3 hours.
Okay, that's still good.
Yeah, and it's an opportunity. I mean, even many of our officials visit schools. They know that it's open door policy, always come and check things out. But this is a way for them to just have an easy entry in and have an opportunity to get an official tour from the administrators.
So just for listeners to be reminded, you were able to visit in that time in what appeared to be a pretty good way. How many schools are there in the district?
47.
Okay.
So 47 different schools. And what's incredible, I said before, our enrollment's getting close to 19,000. One of the things that Dr. Goyette always talks about is, you know, we have about a third of our families choose schools other than their neighborhood school, the school that they are in the boundary for. But what that means is that two-thirds of our families go to their boundary school.
Right.
So whatever boundary they're in, that's the school that they go to. So that's exciting. We want to show families, we want to show elected officials that these are our neighborhood schools and these are our schools of choice.
And just a follow-on question to that, there must be some limitations in choice. Or does it just all work out?
So I think one of the big pieces is that it's important that we know Alaskans they want choice.
Sure.
Matsu families want choice. Even inside a particular family unit, you have kids that need differentiated learning.
Right.
So the limitations to choice are, you know, some of the things where our charter schools have a lottery system. Not every student that applies for that school will get in. Career and Tech High School has an application process and an interview process. Not every student who applies can get in. We have some schools that have a really high percentage of what we call boundary exemptions. So let's say you're districted for Thielen Middle School, but you have an older sibling who's going to Colony High. So it'd be easier for everyone if that student went to Colony Middle, just for transportation reasons and other things. But if that school has too many boundary exemptions that have been accepted, that student may not be accepted for that school. But most of the time, the district will help work with families to find a way. And even with a school like Matsu Day School, that's not a school of necessarily of choice. That's a place where students are referred to going to and then are placed in that school. But what they're trying to do is then eventually transition that student back to their home school, wherever that originally was.
So it sounds to me, correct me if I'm missing some part of this, an application we put in to apply to a school of choice, and there are a variety of factors, not just first application, mm-hmm. and you put them in order and you just accept them. There are factors that affect whether a student will be accepted in the school or not.
Absolutely. So this process isn't used by many schools. CTHS is probably the best example. So what they're really looking for is the students that will be able to succeed the best at that school. And so they have particular expectations at that school. And then, of course, the career pathways also will help a student rank in how they get into that school.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the thing that is obvious once you mention the size of the school district. This happens to be National School Bus Safety Week. Is that true?
Yeah, this is definitely worth mentioning. This is a big deal for us. So we have so many of our students that pupil transportation is a big deal. It's important that we provide that service for our families so that kids can get to school safely. And one of the things that we know is that, you know, that's our streets are not set up like other places in the lower 48. We don't have sidewalks in every area. We don't have streetlights in every area. So we have a lot of students, especially right now when it's really dark in the morning, that are waiting on the sides of roads and it's difficult for them to be seen. So this is a week that we get to highlight how we can help keep our kids safe on the roads. So every day this week, we're trying to put up public service announcements about wearing reflective gear. Please make sure that your student can be seen by other drivers and by the school bus driver. If you wait with your student for school, likewise for yourself, wear something that the bus driver is sure to be able to see you. This is also just great time for families to go over expectations of riding on the bus. We don't want – the school day continues and begins on the bus. And so there is a code of conduct that is expected and that the bus drivers are going to help maintain. So that's really important. And then this is also a week that we recognize our school bus drivers. They do amazing things. We have had school bus drivers have to do CPR on our buses. We have school bus drivers that have to deal with red light runners. We have school bus drivers that have to deal with drivers that don't either see their flashing red lights or are ignoring them and have to make ready reports to our Alaska State Troopers. They work really hard, and they have a hard job of having all of those kids on the buses. And it's just a great day. It's a great time to recognize the work that they do for us.
Okay. This is also, there's another week. It's Red Ribbon Week.
Yes. So one of the things of being the public information officer for the school district, there is always some national week that we're celebrating or a national month that we're celebrating. And okay. October happens to have an awful lot of them. And so one of the big ones that's been around for a long time is National Red Ribbon Week. So Red Ribbon Week is about pledging to be a drug-free student. And so it's an important piece of, you know, helping keep our schools safe is that students know that a drug-free life is going to support them in succeeding and achieving the whatever their dreams may be. So that's just one of the big weeks that we have. We have assemblies throughout the district. Every school does it a little bit differently. I went to Denina Elementary last year for their assembly, and they all wear red, and they have this really cool assembly where everyone gathers, and there's lots of just interactions and games with the principals, and they just it's such a great time to bring schools together and just have that conversation with all of the students.
What about the ribbons? Red ribbon.
Yeah, so the red ribbon is just the right, that's what it's called. So the red ribbon is acknowledgement that it's about taking that pledge. And so teachers, students, administrators, anyone who takes the pledge and supports the theme this year is life is a journey, travel drug free. It's that commitment to that pledge and helping others achieve that.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So any other, you mentioned that October is a month filled with weeks of significance.
Weeks and months, yes.
So are there any others that we have missed in October
here? Yeah. So, I mean, we've been celebrating, this is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, which is a big deal to us considering what happened at the Matsubara this year and how much that interrupted their operations. So it's just, it's that stop, think, connect. So before you click on an attachment or open something from an unknown entity, to stop and think about it, even if you're surfing on the web, teaching kids that digital citizenship and how to go out into the digital world and be safe. It's important. And that goes along with, this is also, October is Bullying Prevention Month. This is a really big deal to us. We celebrate this in different ways throughout the year. But with this one in particular, we've actually been generating some public service announcements around cyberbullying and digital citizenship. It's just the students that are growing up nowadays, they just are living in a different world. And those of us adults that are trying to help them navigate, we do not necessarily grow up in that same world. So we're all journeying together and trying to figure out how best to support these young people in moving through the digital media and the digital world. So that's another important one that we've been working on. So yeah, those are just, that's just four of the many that okay. we help celebrate.
Got it. I also understand you have, in some ways, a message from the superintendent about yep. three things that can be done that don't cost money.
Yes. So one of the things that we know that so many times, you know, we have to talk about money with the district and our financial needs. And so we've been thinking a lot about as we go to chambers or rotaries or Kiwanis clubs or if we're even doing that elected official tour, of we have people that come to us and ask, what can we do? And then we also want to make sure that we're out there saying, these are things that can be done, that every person can participate in some way. So the first one is early literacy. So one of the things that Dr. Goyette talks about when she goes out to the community is looking at where our students are when they come into the district. And they're usually a little bit behind. And so what that means is just looking at national averages of how young people are entering the K-12 system. So one of the things that we know that we can all do as community members, so if you own a business or if you have you're a medical provider, is helping with early literacy. So one of the things that she recommends is you can create like a box or a corner in it at your office or in your business place for young people to help practice those things. So what that means is learning how to cut with safety scissors and doing hole punching and getting them to know which is their dominant hand, left or right, so that when they enter school, they have already started to build those muscles so that they can learn that the written language is connected to speech. Okay. And that is a huge piece of early literacy and progression. So that's one. So the next one is going to see an event in the valley, going to some school event. It means so much to these kids. These kids work so hard. When I work with kids, Mike, I am just always blown away at how busy they are. They're in drama. They're in two different sports. They are part of some academic club. They do Battle of the Books. They're on the chess team. They just have so much going on. It means so much to them when they're, let's say they're doing a play, a production. Colony Middle School's got one coming up November 3rd. When those curtains open and that seating is packed, that means everything to them. And it's great for them to learn what it feels like to be in those moments where people are watching and paying attention and applauding them for their success and for their effort. So that's two. And then the third thing is, if you get to hear anything about choice in the district, if you are a parent that has a student at a choice school, or you have chosen your neighborhood school, is to share that with people. So what Dr. Goyette wants is that every student is in the school that they are because they chose that. It's not just because they ended up there. It's she wants to make sure that we can, and the, part of this is my work, is making sure that families know what is available to them. So like the high school information fair, we had Reese Everett in here last week.
Right.
We had about 500 people come through our doors last week to learn about their choices for high school. And that is exciting to us because that means that they know if they've decided on Palmer High, it's because they've chosen that. If they've decided on Wasilla High, they've chosen that because they know all of the other options that are available to them. And that they know that at those schools, maybe those other schools weren't available to them, at those schools, there are programs within those schools. So career and tech education is available at those schools, or like Palmer was talking about, the International Baccalaureate program. So number three is choice. Know that, share the word, share the message that choice is available to our families and that they can choose, and help them learn more about it. So those are three things that folks can do without, they you don't have to spend any money.
Good. Well, I have one last question. I was thinking about October and saying, well, obviously there's a holiday in October at the end of the month that dominates people's activities, and that's Halloween.
Yes. Yeah. And it's on a Wednesday.
So you have preparation. You could probably next Wednesday still talk about Halloween. But in the sense, it's, how does the district view Halloween?
So we know not all of our families celebrate Halloween.
Like
Berriozova, many of our families up there don't celebrate that holiday. But what we know is that it's important that Halloween's important to people. There are costumes that dominate all the stores right now and lights and all of that kind of stuff.
And some teachers and students and others.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we embrace Halloween. We think it. I know that if I had elementary educators in here, they would tell me it's really important that students learn to celebrate holidays and the preparations around it and understand what it all means. So we embrace Halloween. And this year, what's interesting is that our parent-teacher conferences are right after Halloween. And every school has a different schedule. So please check online at matsuk12.us and then look at the school calendars to see what is going on at your school. But check your calendars. And for some students, they don't have school, but they'll have parent-teacher conferences after Halloween.
Oh, very good. Okay. Chance to recover. Any last comments beyond that, Jillian Morrissey, today?
This time of year is really exciting and busy at our schools. Quarter one has already ended. We're already in quarter two, and it's before the rest of the holiday season. So there's a lot happening. But, yeah, we hope to see you at some events. Come on out and check out our kids and see what great things they're doing.
Okay. Thank you for coming in today.
Thanks,
Mike.
We
look forward to next week.
Been listening to Inside the School District, a weekly discussion providing you with information about what's happening in the Mat-Su schools, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.